Hey everyone, I'm Madonna. This is David, and we're going to talk about the pandemic treaty and how that ripple down effect is going to impact on 173 countries around the world.
Okay, so I don't know what you're talking about. So,
World Health
what's
Organization.
the pandemic treaty?
World Health Organization has had 173 countries this week sign towards a pandemic treaty, which means that countries have basically given up their sovereignty. So if the World Health Organization says there's a particular type of flu and you don't follow the rules, then you can get big fines.
Fines.
Fines, huge, huge financial fines
What for the
is written
country?
into, yeah, is written into the treaty.
Not for the individual.
No, but the way that it's going to impact on people like you and me is that it puts globalists and stakeholders and big pharma more in control of people's individual lives. So it's going to make it
More in
harder.
control of their agency, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
As individuals
Yeah.
and informed consent.
Yeah, so that'll be gone because we've started changing the laws here in Australia back in 2020, and I'm sure other countries in the world have been doing exactly the
Well, some
same thing.
organisations have got into, my body, my choice, and so feminism's taken that idea and run with it, which would be the same thing if you put it, phrased it in this, just thinking philosophy and linguistics. Well, my body, my choice.
Doesn't exist anymore. It
Well.
doesn't exist anymore. In Singapore, they created a law 2 weeks ago that's $10,000 fine and 6 months in jail if you say no to a mandated vaccine.
Sure, but there was a stage when My Body, My Choice didn't exist at all, and over time they organized and improved the whole
The
situation.
only way this will actually improve things is if people actually stand up and pay attention, and people don't pay attention, so they'll just go along with
Okay,
whatever.
but that's and that's and that's been like that throughout the history of the
Which is
world.
why we need to discuss it.
Yeah.
Which is why we need to discuss it.
And here we are.
And here we are. So it's not good enough for people just to not pay attention and allow the government and the World Health Organization to make them do whatever they want them to do. It's not good enough. Because it will be causing challenges. Everyone knows that the masks did not work during COVID. They built up bacteria on inside of them. They made people sicker. People were getting all sorts of infections with their mouths and their nose and their sinuses. So they were not safe. They
Yeah,
were not safe.
people, and in retrospect, a lot of the recommendations caused harm, and like that's known now. And a lot of people don't know about that because you have to really go into the research and look at that. And the other problem with this type of thing for the normal person is that, like, I'll give you an example. Recently, the Australian government's put out a series of ADHD recommendations.
Yes.
And what they did, so I went and looked at it, I downloaded them, because it's important for counselling. And so just, and it's important to see what they've done and what they've recommended that falls in or outside what you'd normally do from a counselling point of view.
Yes.
And so I haven't had a chance to look at them. But what they did do, which so they had one for professionals, right? And so in that, it's not available to view online. You have to sign in and say what profession you belong to. So that was
Yep.
easy, counsellor. So I downloaded it and then I had it. Except they have another part. If you look at their website, they have a part that they've sort of dumbed down for the public.
Right. Okay.
And the reason that they do that is because actually most people aren't even qualified to or to because you've got many years background. I've got many years background too in a lot of things that they're dealing with. And so the thing is that for the normal person, even though they might need to take action or get involved, it takes years to even understand what the keywords mean,
Right.
right? So they can't actually access it. And even though we can, because we've had years of training to understand what the words even mean.
Yeah.
And so even words like, even words we use in counselling all the time, like something like agency,
Yeah.
no one knows what the word means. In general, it's not like a spoken word that we use in
So what's the
conversation.
30-second definition of agency?
Agency is an individual's ability to have an effect in the world.
Right.
So it's about the individual's ability to have an effect. And so that effect can transfer into making a choice,
Right.
right? That's having an effect. It can mean that You can go out in the world and use your voice and do something or say something and have an effect,
Okay.
right? So it's effect based. And the same thing when we're dealing with treating people, we're actually always looking for an effect. An effect
Yeah.
is something that's universally agreed on that we're trying to do. So if we're doing any type of intervention, whether we're doing it medically or with herbs or whatever, or counseling, whatever process that we're using, we have a goal and we can measure the effect against the goal we have.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yep, absolutely.
And so agency has mainly to do with effect, but then so does science. And you see the people who lose their agency are people who are in, say, controlling relationships, right? So people in relationships who are being controlled, their effect, in other words, their agency, which means their potential being taken out into the world, right? So what happens is that Carl Jung talked about this, and he said when people's agency gets removed, he goes, they end up to be called depotentialized people, that they no longer have the ability to manifest their idea of what their potential is. So agency is about having an effect where we can move towards our potential. And being depotentialized is what Jung calls, because he says when totalitarian states, like, because what a lot of people are describing is what happened in the pandemic. When he was writing about this sort of stuff, it was before the Second World War. And it was really obvious with the totalitarian states, whether you look at the communists or the Nazis. What happened was the people were getting depotentialized, right? And that means they couldn't express their agency anymore, because if they did the wrong thing, someone would shoot them or put them in a camp. And so that's a depotentialized
Sounds like Melbourne
society.
during COVID.
Well, the thing is, you can measure it. It's not like it's not as bad as that type of thing. Like in a totalitarian state, like in the communist states, it was so terrifying that if you expressed agency, you could end up in a camp. And same in and so anything that opposes the national interest
Yeah.
becomes a something. So what happens is that how agency is expressed communally is that people can get together and discuss it.
Yeah.
Depotentialized means people are separated and cut off from each other. That's
Yeah.
how Jung describes it, Carl Jung. And so the ultimate thing, like agency is like, expression. It's so many types of expression and being able to go out there. And when that gets cut off and cut off and cut off, people become depotentialized, and they sort of people become more similar. Because the 'cause another thing Jung said, and this is standard in all psychology, whether Freudian or Jungian, in other words, whether it's medical
Yeah.
or not, or holistic, is that it's the ability, it's your ability to go out and do things. And when you get cut off, you can't actually achieve anything, and people become similar. Like if you look at something like Nazi Germany or the communist state when they were running, what happens is everyone starts speaking similar, because individual thoughts get suppressed down.
Yeah.
And Jung's idea of agency was that, like Sigmund Freud said, that most people are just trying to fit in with everyone else.
Yeah.
And that's called the superego. And if you act like an individual, someone will punish you. You get punished for being different. Except all the innovation in the world happens through individuals acting above the group.
Yes.
Because he says that as an individual, you can reach a much higher expression of the self than inside a group.
Yes.
And so groups can harm people in the simplest of, like, a disruptive family system,
Yeah.
right? Where the people are, say, a narcissistic family system, one person's scapegoated, one person's a golden child. And it's like this thing where people are harmed. They can't expect their agency, because they're treated in different ways that suppress that. And so a person is like, so one person's a golden child in the family, one person's a scapegoat. Everyone loves the scapegoat, because they're not going to cop it off the aggressive people. So
Yeah.
everyone piles it on the scapegoat. Now, that's the same in social context in groups as it is in family system, and the same in very large groups like governments as in family systems. Murray Bowen came up with that. So working out our agency, working out our potential, if the individual part gets lost, all people become as the same.
Yeah.
Right, and you can see that happens in societies when they become totalitarian.
Yeah.
And you see around the world that everybody in government, or if you look, there's a lot of, used to be one term, maybe two, there's a lot of people in the West and not who've been in there, they just continue how many terms they can have.
Yeah.
And so that, and they're not, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it's a sign of, do you know what I mean,
Well, we don't
this
have a
idea.
maximum here in Australia.
No, but we kind of change over fairly regularly too, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah,
It
maybe.
gives all the different people. Well, it gives, because hard, because when you look at politics, people tend to vote 50%. So here in Australia, it's like it's good to let half the people over go, and then because that's half the people.
It's actually not. It's a third, and a third. So a third of us voted freedom groups,
Well,
and
that's the, but
then a third. So the mandate here in Australia wasn't even
that's increased
35%,
recently.
28% three
Yeah.
years ago,
But
and now it's
still,
up to 33%.
Greens have been one of the bigger groups in that
Thank goodness they went down that time.
individual. Well, I don't have an opinion on it, but because I don't do politics, but I kind of I always think that when it's around 50-50, or at least the main two parties are the same, it's good they swap over, because otherwise it's like no one wants their own team to win all the time if you're on the other side, and vice versa. And if the
The
and if
problem is a duopoly is happening everywhere in the world
I
at the
know that, but
moment.
if one party's not doing as well, they've got to lift their game. They have to, like, just say one party. I know we had an election recently and one party lost. Well, that means they need to up their agency,
Yeah.
right? Because that's what failed. They got sort of depotentialized,
Yeah. Nah,
I
we're
suppose.
screwed here in Australia. But anyway.
Yeah, so that's the philosophical sort of things behind that. And,
Yeah, and George Orwell's 1984 was all about getting rid of individuals and, suppressing everything. And I was listening to something yesterday that was talking about the number of words that have disappeared out of the dictionary again. So what they're doing with AI is working out the most popular words and the least popular words. And bit by bit, every year, they're reducing the amount of words
Oh,
that
not
are
it.
in.
But if you buy the big Oxford dictionary, there's still a lot in
Yeah,
there.
but if you actually buy it, that's a different thing to what's online. So bit by bit, it won't
Yeah, but
become part of
isn't
people's.
that the problem? If people are only get their information offline, that's their own fault as well.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the online's always going to be limited, and it's always going to have echo chambers where, you know, because online, if you follow the algorithm, it just pushes you into your group. You
Yeah.
don't end up hearing the other side. Like, I have to push to get the other side because I want to hear what they say too. Because if I don't know whatever side I'm, if I don't listen to the side that aren't on my side, I actually don't even know what's going on, because the people on my side are biased.
Yeah.
So hearing them is like, no, I already know what they think anyway. And if you want to increase your agency, you have to know what's going on the other side.
Yeah, and
And listen openly enough to have enough empathy to understand why they've taken a strong position, which is often a valid reason.
Yeah.
It may be limited, but I think both sides are limited. Politics isn't perfect, and even religion isn't perfect. So it's like trying to express perfect from anybody without mistakes is like sort of wanting people to be better than I am, because I make a lot of mistakes and I'm definitely not perfect, and so I can't project that onto the world.
Aren't you? I never noticed.
No, but you know what I mean? It's like I just, you know, because on the internet you see the two sides projecting perfection on the other side. Oh, you made mistakes. It's like, yeah, well, so did you last time, and you will in the future, you know, and I will in the future.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're in a mood. If I'm in a bad mood, everything I'm going to be saying is kind of not 100% right. But if I calm down, I'll say it more clearly and not at calmer, and then people are more likely to listen too.
Yeah.
I've noticed over time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that, because I'm an fairly extreme individual, so a lot of my ideas, people won't accept them no matter what I do, because they just don't want to do that. You know, so I don't keep pushing it, because it's like, they're not going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Like being vegetarian, for instance, I'm vegetarian, but I don't push it because it's like, well, it doesn't seem to work anyway. They just end up like calling me a fanatic. Happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reasons for becoming vegetarian these days, unfortunately, they're usually not spiritual. It's usually because of the climate change things and the
Well, no.
UN. The
Well,
UN and the World Health Organization are pushing this idea that animals are bad for the planet. They've been pushing it for 20 years. So there's a different reason for people
yeah, but
becoming.
so, yeah, but by challenging me, that brings, because I don't talk about this, I just brought it up as a case. And you, like it's not a good idea to get into an argument with me on this issue.
No, I'm not
No,
arguing.
no,
I'm
no.
saying that the reasons that
I
people
know, but I
become
also,
vegetarian
yes,
and vegan
I know,
now
but
are
I,
different.
no, but I also am aware of people like Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan, a lot of people who are pushing anti-vegetarian propaganda. And for the vegetarian, it really hurts because they're both treating a lot of people out of compassion and because they don't want to kill animals anymore because it is, it's like killing, it's not like killing, but that's a, it's an animal with agency, you know, and so it's like, but anyway, I don't talk about this for that reason, is that a lot of things where people have a personal interest, it's very hard to talk about. And me talking about it, I don't want to talk about it because it doesn't help very much. And both sides, and it is when you're a vegetarian, you hear the arguments made online against vegetarians. They're really not nice when you're that person. And the people who are on that side, they don't care. Like they've just decided that all the
They're
vegetarians,
not giving you agency or empathy.
no, they're trying to block, that's right, they're trying to depotentialize the vegetarians. And I don't even talk about it to anybody. You know, and they say, oh, the vegans talk about it. And it's like, yeah, I know, but it's like, I'm not one of them. I've been a vegetarian for 40 years. And, you know, it's got nothing to do with my latest thing or what the
No. Well,
environment
it's a
is,
spiritual, religious reason, absolutely.
which is the reason a lot of people, you know, behind it.
Well, the people you talk to.
I know, but yeah,
You
but
know, so
I've known lots of types of vegetarians because I've always lived with them, even before I got married, big share houses. And they were, what I learned was they were all different reasons, but mostly a compassionate base in that it's suffering and it's a way you can reduce the suffering in the world.
which obviously is a good thing.
And no, but see, a lot of things like that, when you're in a group of individuals, this is what I'm saying. When you get to individual agency thinking, you'll end up with things like that, where you're completely unpopular and you're a small percentage, 3% maybe in Australia, 3% vegetarians. They say it's increasing, but I see it going backwards really quickly. So it's a really small minority.
Including the vegans? Because
I,
the vegans feel like they're hefty out there, you
well,
know, because.
I don't even care. Except the thing is, when you have kids who are vegetarian, they get picked on at school all the time. And it's really not nice. And because the people in the majority tend to whack the people in the minority, which, when you're talking about the big pharma, they're in the minority, they're in the majority, right? And those in the minority, like especially with science, what is in philosophy, they say that science has a problem with narrative. And judged by that yardstick that science use, they make anything narrative based into fables.
Well, you'll be very happy. The World Health Organization and the United Nations don't want anyone eating meat. So they've already
Well, I
murdered
don't know
millions
anything
and
about that.
millions and,
They're
well,
kind
they
of,
have been murdering
yeah,
millions and millions of animals
except what they
around
do.
the planet.
Yeah, except what they do is they, like if you look at the psychological things, the human rights thing, what they're demanding of people, like normal people don't even do that. Do you know what I mean? Like I've read some of their things and like, and you kind of go, oh, we, every child should be, like if you say, they're basically saying every child should be rich with a nice diet and this and that. And you look at the world and go, well, actually, that's not what normal people are like. So they're creating ideals for people that really most normal people aren't really doing anyway. And you kind of, and it's this funny thing, because I spent a lot of time with you and stuff. I wrote assignments at uni about it and I was, and I remember going into it and thinking, that's a funny thing. Like they're demanding perfection in one sense, in terms of human rights. But if you look around the world, like it's not even normal
It's all
practice.
BS.
It's, I suppose it's an ideal, but I don't know. I've seen some things that aren't particularly helpful. You know, like, yeah, and I won't talk about that
Anyway, I
actually.
just think people should be aware, maybe, you know, because I think we've got like a golden few years left before we get really wrapped up in the pandemic treaty and
Well,
stuff that we
any
don't want,
organisation can be
thing that we
co-opted.
have no control over.
But they can become co-opted. Like, for example, say something like the United Nations. When it began, it was like a, this thing, but slowly over time, you see some countries have got veto power, and they're actually not even friendly countries. And you see that it's like it changes over time into something that was different to what it started with. And those big organizations can do that. They can go in a direction that they never intended to. Lobby groups get involved, right? And governments get involved, particular governments with, like,
And
with a,
stakeholders,
well,
the
if you take the
stakeholder
UN, it's all
capitalism.
about human rights, but you see some of the stakeholders who are funding it, they don't seem to be that interested in human rights.
No, they're only interested
Like
in
some,
making money.
but that might be governments. And you look at that government funding that, and you go, well, that government's kind of, how are they demanding perfection for all the kids and the families when you see what's happening in their own
Exactly.
space,
No, it's all a bit messy. But check out the Pandemic Treaty. There's a guy called James Roguski, and he actually has a Substack, which is probably something like James Roguski at substack.com.au or whatever the Substacks are. He's written some really, really good things on the Pandemic Treaty. It's been rejected by about 15 big countries in the world. Thank goodness there's a few big countries standing up against the World Health Organization because it's not about health. It's
Oh,
not
that
about
happened.
health.
Didn't the US resign from something?
Yeah, and China didn't sign, Russia didn't
Right.
chi
Oh,
sign,
they're the people you
Brazil
have the
didn't
veto on, aren't
sign,
they?
Argentina didn't sign, Italy didn't sign. So they
Oh.
but there's about 15 countries which I think's awesome that didn't sign. It is important, even though people find it boring, because it really is going to change the landscape of what we are allowed to do, because it's all rolled into the whole vaccine passport and things like that, which will then control what you're allowed to buy, where you're allowed to move. They want all this in place by 2030. That's
Well, we'll
only
see.
5 years.
But there's a bit of, there's quite a bit of opposition forming against that.
Thank goodness.
And I see people, because
But if people don't know about it,
I
they
know,
can't
I know.
oppose it.
But I have this idea that I assume noble intent with things. So an organization might have problems, but if
No.
it's going to have some, yeah, I can't, I don't see things like that. Like, for example, just take the UN. They do some bad things, but most of the things they do are quite okay. Do you know what I mean? And a lot of things are like that, like they're doing basic help for people. And but you know, you see things being co-opted, like you see in the US they had all these aid agencies that became something else. And I'm not even saying, it's just that over time things, groups and organizations can change their direction into something they didn't start with. And that's how I kind of look at it, because they started off really good ideas. And they were like they were implemented by people who are really smart and good at the beginning, but over time, just like religions, they get, as it gets passed down from the next person, you need a new enlightened person, because the truth gets distorted over time. And organizations are like that too, governments are like that, and political parties are like that. And sometimes they get in such a trouble they have to completely regenerate. And you know, and that some
No
of
one
that
ever
might be
goes to
happening.
jail, though. Doesn't matter what
No, but no one
kerfuffle they
wants to
get
go to
up to.
jail.
If they do illegal things, they should go to jail.
Well, that's not my, I'm a counsellor, so I don't, like, justice isn't a part of my profession. I don't know what I think if people who are, like, causing harm to others, disturb people, and, you know, Carl Jung wrote about it, it's like the human psyche is fierce. Yeah, well, I know you can always pray for it.
Anyway, yeah, absolutely. I
Yeah.
think the whole world needs prayers. And if anyone wants to, the Bobby Kennedy, he did a speech begging the world not to sign the pandemic treaty and why
Oh.
he thinks they should all pull out of the World Health Organization.
Oh, did
And
he?
he gave a really huge history as to why that's the case, because exactly like you said, it's been co-opted and
Well, he's an interesting
And he's
character for
been
the world.
funded by some really some people who do not have health. The top of there, they say they do, but they don't.
Yeah, because it's public relations, so it's about money and power in a lot of things. Anyway. That's good. Yeah, so it's really interesting to pull that apart and see what it is. But one part about people becoming informed is that it needs to be digestible, and the studies we read, like a lot of people might have been, I know that people are getting smarter and smarter, but reading academic work is exhausting. And the normal person just wants something in a video or a something more simple they can get the message through
It's
to.
true. So check out Agenda 2030, check out the Pandemic Treaty, check out Actually, you know who's also good in relation to the UN is the guy who should be in as head of Romania, but the EU threw him out. So he won the election before Christmas and they threw him out. He worked for the UN for 17 years and he came out as a whistleblower. So they did not want him as president of Romania. So he's a very interesting guy to listen to. I've heard him in a few fairly major interviews with Tucker Carlson and people
What's
like
happening
that.
in Eastern Europe is different to what's happening in Western Europe.
Yeah, right.
Well, they're the old Soviet states,
Yeah.
and all of those countries, Poland and Czech Republic and Bulgaria, they all have a bit of an independent point of view in the EU, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
And I'm
right.
just a spectator, I don't care. I kind of, with a philosophy
It's
background,
getting
I
more
kind of.
global now, though, everything, you know, so we can't ignore things living here in Australia because everything's coming here,
Yeah, well,
you know, so we're getting more.
but Australia's always been that because we're 20 million people. We've always been,
27.
we've always been the test market
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
we're the size of a medium Chinese city, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
And how many people are in New
I think
York City?
small towns in China are 5 million.
Yeah, but Australia's a city-sized country,
Yeah.
and so we're a good test market. We're good to experiment
Well,
on.
yeah, we're great. You know, bring it on, experimenters.
No, but so with products, Australia is often used for that
Yeah.
as a test market because
Yeah,
it's
so
up.
is New Zealand because they're only 4 million.
Yeah, they're probably even better.
Anyway, my brain keeps going, where can I move when shit goes down?
Well,
I feel like that's only a few years away.
yeah,
But
I've got a
yeah,
bunch of friends who think like that. They're already moving out.
there's a lot of stuff going on. But anyway, and I'm, you know, part of
Moved out
what
of
I
country.
do, yeah, part of what I do is I subscribe to good newsletters, and even if I just look at the headlines of the newsletters as I'm deleting them in my inbox, I'm getting to see like the patterns, you know. So if I see too much about one particular subject, then that's when I'm more likely to go, oh, hang on, this is something I really should be paying attention to.
Yeah.
So it's a good way of getting an overview of what's going on.
Well, being interested in psychology, like all of those things have a psychological aspect,
Yeah.
like totality. There's actually good research on everything.
Yeah.
Historic, because in history, the same things keep happening.
Yeah,
Totalitarianism
absolutely.
is just an ongoing thing that happens over
Yeah.
time. And you can see throughout history there'll be periods where there's a totalitarian state and everyone's controlled by it.
Yeah. Yeah, so we do, you know, we have to pay attention. Otherwise,
Yeah.
we're going to lose everything. That's what's going to happen.
Well,
Unless
I'm going to
the
bring in
good guys win.
Machiavelli. I
Unless the good guys
promise not
win.
to quote Machiavelli or George Orwell. Don't break my.
What is it in Sound of Music when the uncle sort of says something like, I have a fiendish delight thinking of you as the mother of seven. However, you're going to handle it. And she said, ah, darling, haven't you ever heard of a delightful little thing called boarding school?
Oh, the Baroness.
And he says, Baroness Machiavelli.
Oh, really?
He does.
Oh, right.
So there's my only
Well, what
Machiavellian
does
quote
Machia well, what does
from
Machia
Sound of
well, what
Music.
does Machiavelli say? He says that there's nothing more contentious, more difficult, and more impossible than trying to develop a new system. And
Yeah,
he
right.
says because the people who support it will only give you a lukewarm response, and the people who are against it. They'll say that because it's usually because he was talking about something going to happen in the future.
Yep.
So, and he says, but no one will support it because you only get lukewarm response because the people say it hasn't happened yet. And so the people who are against it, they're just like trying to wait for it, you know what I mean, to prove you're wrong.
Yeah.
And Machiavelli talked about that making a new way of thinking is nearly impossible because so many people profit and benefit from the old way of doing things.
Yeah.
And that's what he said. You can find the quote.
Cool.
I won't admit I'm a Machiavellian.
Well,
I'm a compassionate Buddhist.
I think I said to you, you know, I've got a book here by, I don't know, someone, and in like 2000 in the UK, the head of the Psychiatric Association said there's nothing more dangerous than an individual. No, there's nothing more dangerous than individualism.
That's true.
So, and they ba
Well, it is.
so
Because when you look at what's normal, right? Societies have a deviance ratio. How many people deviate from the
a
norm?
lot of deviance in
No,
Australia.
but the more you deviate, two things come out of deviation: innovation or genius and crime.
Yeah.
Because the people who deviate it's those two poles.
Yeah.
And so someone like more totalitarian societies that have a really high conviction rate, everyone gets accused, gets conviction. They've got a low deviation rate. There's no criminals, but there's no creatives either, because the individual can't get agency because they're caught under the same, you'll all conform to what everyone else is doing. Do you see that?
God, I don't want
Amazing.
to
No, but like the theory on that
go
stuff in sociology is like really like
there.
accurate.
Oh,
Anyway, it's fun.
get me into MK Ultra and give me some, what did they feed him? Ecstasy or something in the
No,
MK Ultra
that was
testing?
LSD.
LSD. I'd rather, if I'm going to be taken over by the government, give me that one.
No, but a lot of doctors are excited that now they can treat people with MDMA and LSD because those drugs and cannabis too, they were taken off the people. They were taken off the
Yeah,
doctors. And
deliberately.
now they're finding that end of life with the LSD or psilocybin they use, but also they're using cannabis for trauma and also an exit drug to get off other drugs. Cannabis, what's the other one? Ecstasy. And
THC?
no,
No.
MDMA for healing is that you can go to memories that you couldn't go to when you're straight, and you can go into those memories and you can approach them in a more without getting shocked by old traumatic memories.
Yeah.
Really incredible. And that's new research, and it's valid in Australia almost, I think. That more.
Almost.
No, I think there's doctors treating you can get training in it now. If
Yeah,
you're a
right.
level 4 counselor, you can get psychedelic training now.
Cool.
Amazing.
Bet you're looking forward to that.
No, I don't want to do it.
Cool. Okay, gotta go. Gotta get Teddy. Hope you have a
Okay, love you all.
bye. Have a good one.